It's weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. Guy Raz is away. I'm Laura Sullivan. A few years ago, in Wake County, North Carolina, Kevin Hill ran for his local school board.
In 2007, we had a campaign committee of two, my wife and I.
He teaches at North Carolina State University, and he wanted to get involved. He and his wife made some phone calls, sent out some flyers. He put in $2,000 of his own money and was thrilled when friends threw in some cash, too.
In total of fundraising, I think we raised a little bit close. It was right around maybe the $6,000 mark, and that was it.
Hill won, and now he's running again, hoping to hang on to his seat on Tuesday. But this time around, his campaign team is a little bigger.
Yeah, from me and my wife to about 300 people.
300 volunteers are now helping to get Kevin Hill elected to the school board. They're managing phone banks, a website, and a financial war chest of $42,000.
It's been mind-boggling to me that for a school board race that is nonpartisan, the amounts of money that has been raised has been raised.
But much of that money, it's not coming from local residents. It's coming from party organizations and private interest groups from outside the county, even outside the state. They spent almost $100,000 more trying to get one or the other elected. That's our cover story today, the influence of big money on little politics.
The Tea Party-backed right-wing agenda has taken over our schools.
Tea Party, Tedesco, I'm not ashamed of that.
For years, Wake County children have been bused many miles from their homes. Now there's a new bipartisan plan that will stop forced busing.
Our school board leaders have turned us into a national laughingstock.
But I say it's time to make the future of our schools as bright as possible. I'm Heather Lacerdo.
Heather Lacerdo was just as surprised as Kevin Hill when the money started coming in. Lacerdo spoke with reporter Dave DeWitt from member station WUNC.
Guess I was taken aback a little bit was the outside interest groups, special interest groups that came into Wake County that don't have what's been called skin in the game. Their children aren't in our schools. They don't pay our taxes. They're not in this community.
It's Wake County's most expensive school board election to date.
I'm not sure where, except for maybe Los Angeles or New York, you would see this kind of spending.
That's Thomas Goldsmith. He's been covering the race for the Raleigh News and Observer. Here's some background. The school board's supposed to be nonpartisan, but Republican candidates swept the board in 2009. Now a slate of Democratic candidates want back in. Thomas Goldsmith says what's at stake is the controversial issue of school assignments, where lower-income students from downtown Raleigh should go to school.
The people in the suburbs were increasingly angry about what they felt was the predilection of the board to give all the good stuff to old Raleigh, where I grew up.
The thing that's sort of incredible about this race is just the amount of money. But some of this money that's coming in is coming from outside Wake County, right?
Some of it is, and it gets very tricky. But there's a gentleman you may have read about recently in The New Yorker named Art Pope, who is the owner of a big regional variety store chain. He has put money into these races. Another gentleman named Bob Luddy, and these are both Republicans, has put money in. And we're talking about, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. This is not millions of dollars. And this year we had a couple on the Democratic side who also put in tens of thousands of dollars. The Wake County Democratic and Republican parties have put money in. We have 527s that are getting involved. And the 527s have spent tons of money on mailers, getting increasingly vituperative as the campaign went on.
Is that a new thing for Wake County to see in these recent elections so much outside money into its small local sort of school board county elections?
Yes. I mean, the schools were thought to be good. In fact, when this new board came into power in 2009, they did a survey and 95% almost of parents said they liked their school. The Republican group, which came into power, was largely suburban. They were expressing the feelings of many people who lived outside Raleigh, the old parts, that they were getting less of what they should. And I think there's no doubt that the Republican Party in particular in 2009 saw it as a vehicle to increase the party's reach in other elections up to and including the presidential race.
Wow.
So this year, the Democrats came back. with lots of money and more of a sort of 24/7 campaign style, you know, responding to anything anyone said and initiating new stories, bringing us opposition research.
Opposition so, research in a school board election?
Absolutely.
I don't know if it's just me, but, you know, I picture school board election. You've got an involved parent scrounging up a couple $100, asking the in-laws maybe right. for some, you know, some money to pass out some yard signs and some flyers. I mean, that's not what we're talking about here, is it?
No. The Democratic Party has 5 paid employees. They have 4 regional offices. They have phone banks. They have robocallers. I want to say that in District 3, which is this one remaining of 9 districts, they're spending $82,000 on get-out-the-vote efforts.
How much money?
$82,000.
Wow. You grew up in Raleigh. You've been a reporter for many, many years, covering a lot of these races. When you covered school boards 10, 20 years ago, was it very different?
Yes, entirely. I mean, I remember covering a school board in Tennessee, and a member who was an older lady turned to me and said, "Now, don't you put that in the newspaper during a meeting." So these people are much more aware of media environment, and they are ostensibly part of a scheme or plan to elevate national parties' influence and control in Wake County, and by many accounts, as goes Wake County, so goes North Carolina.
And perhaps so goes the rest of the country.
Tip O'Neill's old dictum about all politics is local doesn't really apply in our country much anymore.
Farrell Guillory is the director of the Center on Public Life at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
We have seen in North Carolina, from my experience and looking around the South in particular, an increasing involvement of outside the state groups, whether party groups or political groups or fundraising groups. And it's become an element of our national politics now.
Just this year, there have been high-stakes school board elections in Colorado, Texas, and New Jersey. There are important issues in all of these races, school vouchers, evolution, and school assignment, like in Wake County, North Carolina. But there's also national party politics at work, which is making little elections very important, according to William Howell. He's the Sidney Stein Professor in American Politics at the University of Chicago.
At the national level, within Congress at least, when you have these polarized parties, it's really hard to make headway on a particular issue. And so it's not crazy to think that if what you want to do is advance a particular issue, you ought to push at the local level. And so we see that. And then the other side comes in and tries to counter that, and you have big debates about evolution, about collective bargaining, about how much to spend in schools, which are national in scope. And those are the kinds of local elections that are attracting big money, not the kind of school board elections that remain fixated on the future of the football team at the local high school.
Are you saying that there are organizations that want to push a particular agenda, but if they can't get it done at the federal level, that they will then go down, not even just to the state level, but all the way down to the local level to get their issue across?
Yes, yes, I think that that's right. There are state-level initiatives to try to affect change that occur precisely in the aftermath of federal failure. Immigration reform, right? So the Republicans are talking about this a great deal, about how they're going to back the building of a fence or not. Governor Perry is talking about the states having to step in where the federal government failed. And that has to do with government initiatives, state governments. But it also plays out among interest groups who want to affect the composition of state governments, want to affect the composition of local school boards. Teachers' unions play a big role in national politics, but they also organize and try to affect the outcomes of lots of local elections. And there's a logic to it. It isn't just that local politics is less polarized than national politics. It's that to make headway at the local level, you don't, as a general matter, need big money to do so. That said, there are moments when both sides converge and square off, and it attracts national attention. And the more attention that's paid to the local election, the more incentives both sides have to pump money into it because they want to show that their side wins.
Is this where we're headed now, where we're going to have to spend, you're going to have to spend $50,000, $100,000 on campaigns in order to become a member of a school board?
I don't think in the main that that's going to be the case. There are 15,000 school board elections that occur around the country. Hmm. And most of these continue to be low salient affairs where lawn signs and a collection of friends are going to get you elected. And a willingness to serve is going to put you in good stead. That said, again, I think what we can expect is increasingly showdowns where they reach stalemate at the national level, devolving to the local level, and we'll see these things increasingly flaring up around the country. That isn't to say that it becomes sort of standard practice.
William Howell and Farrell Guillory at UNC both agree that if your school board election is getting hot and you can't muster the 50 grand, there's always your school's PTA. It's still taking volunteers, and national party politics don't seem to have filtered down to bake sales yet.